Hello, this is Chris Parker with the Business Simplicity Podcast, and I have had a marvelous conversation with Bob Smith, who is an OKR expert. And we had a lovely conversation about, well, OKRs, obviously, objectives and key results, and the sort of the version one, two, and three, and getting very human about that. And continue to talk about, how the people of an organization can find a way to actually, intentionally contribute. And then we had some real fun with a lovely call to action on how people can really improve their experience in meetings in an organization. It's something you can just do today through being very intentional with your desire to contribute from within. And it was marvelous. So, hey, Bob, why would people find any of this valuable?
Well, we think we found mildly the secret to life, which is that contributing brings out your best self to whatever you care about. And so using contributing as a mechanism, you can drive your own engagement and invite others to engage as well.
The Business Simplicity Podcast, where leaders share their most successful strategies and the failures that inspired them, so business owners and managers can avoid the suffering and reap the benefits. With your host, Chris Parker.
And welcome back to the Business Simplicity Podcast. I'm having another conversation with Bob Smith, who's coming in, I think, from Las Vegas. That's at least where I believe he lives. And a little bit jealous because I haven't been over in the States lately. Bob has been on the podcast, I think sometime last year, talking about OKRs and creating accountability culture. And then him and I have been pinging back and forth. And the concept of contributing as an act came up, and I was like, oh, this is going a really cool place. So let's get Bob back on and have a conversation. Bob is a consultant with a number of organizations, and most recently really leaning into helping groups with their OKR implementations and maturing that. And we'll touch into that a little bit. Bob, can you, if people really want to hear the Bob story, maybe go back and listen to the first episode. But just to help orient people, can you share a little bit, what are you doing with companies in the area of OKR currently?
Thanks, Chris. It's lovely to be back. Appreciate the invitation. The primary focus that we have right now is a term we're coining called OKRs 3.0. And mostly it's taking OKRs, which are finally hitting the mainstream, the world of objectives and key results, and moving them from something we know about to something we can live and get a high return on. So the idea is that OKRs clearly have a good framework for planning, and platforms provide a good basis for monitoring business intelligence. What's missing from that we're focusing on is the people engagement side and people, making them useful for people, because at the end of the day, it's all by, for, and about companies, which comes through their people.
And with OKR 3.0, really focusing on the people and engaging with them, can you differentiate that a little bit? Maybe, I guess, some organizations have been more mechanically implementing OKRs, and therefore the people are not able to live it. Is that the problem you're solving?
In part, I think we've looked at a number of studies that talk about employee engagement as a natural order. And on balance, at least in the United States, it's generally understood that people being fully engaged only hit about 30% of company employee bases. And we enjoy amazing accomplishment, but what if we were to get that engagement level to 50 or 60? And what we get curious about is what stops that from happening and what can we do anything about? And also, what is it that people are suffering from in a lack of engagement? What are they not getting that they could? Which is very interesting to us to kind of uncover and dig into and see what we can find out. So that's been really the impetus, is to take advantage of the fact that the presence of COVID let us mostly experience our mortality more deeply. And so a lot of people want more meaning in their work and more satisfaction and fulfillment, as well as accomplishment. So we're pursuing it from that basis of the individual and the organization through teams.
And OKRs can contribute to a much greater level of engagement?
It can, because the idea is that OKRs are framed around team alignment, performing toward a company-specific strategy. And so you're getting, in general, it's accepted that you're going to get a lot more done with a team than you are on your own. And so this is a way for teams to play well together, but also live in the land of pursuing stretch goals as a way of extraordinary accomplishment, not just meeting needs and not just hitting targets, but actually finding out what's possible. And to that end, we have been focusing on helping people bring their best self to the world of best possible as a formula for people being able to give and get a great deal out of their engagement and work.
Mm. And I'm curious if it was deliberate, but oftentimes when I'm working in cultural transformation and cultural change or change projects, I can draw a distribution curve. And on one side, there is kind of the highly engaged, the ambassadors, the people who are, you know, yeehaw, you know, going for it. And then there's a big middle group that are, you know, a little blasé, maybe not so interested. And then on the other hand, there's sometimes like detractors or actually saboteurs that are working deliberately against whatever it is you're trying to achieve. And then and on the assumption that the change you're trying to make is valid and reasonable, because one of the reasons that I see a lot of changes not work is because they're just stupid. That, you know, this like it just probably shouldn't have been worked on. So let's assume that it's a valid say initiative that's being worked on. It sounded like you were saying let's expand the ambassador, the high engaged, as opposed to sort of remedy the saboteurs. Is there a strategic intent there, or is that I'm just reading in way too much into your words?
There is. We want to make engagement an easier choice, because a lot of times people will define engagement or the lack thereof as something that's driven by outside conditions, like is this an environment I can trust? Is this an environment where leaders are leading the way I believe they should? Are we doing the right things? And it's sort of waiting for the company to excite the individual to want to bring their full self to the game. And we're looking at it from a different point of view and doing two things. One, we're letting engagement be highlighted as a personal choice that you can literally choose to engage at will in a way that's meaningful and sustainable, and that you're glad you did it from. I think there's another aspect of this that we've been looking for an organizing point that lets the power come from inside someone rather than hoping for perfect conditions to make it motivating and exciting. An example, in the world of OKRs, very often organizations will set aspirational goals for the company and the world to seek. And they aspire to these things because they deem it worthwhile. But aspirational goals are not necessarily inspiring. Mm. We all have our own basis of inspiration. And so what you want is that and what's a basis that rather than waiting for the company to get me to lean in, what's a way I can actually have more influence over that? And that is using this central theme of contributing, being a lever I can access at will to lean in. And I've never found a situation where two things were missing from the world of engagement. One is that engagement is absolutely fulfilling and satisfying. And I think the second part is there's no regret. I've never regretted engaging.
Oh, wow. Let me reflect. Is that true?
For me.
Well, sometimes the thing you engage in turns out differently than you expected, but in the long term, indeed, there's no regrets. You learn something.
I think the cool thing is engaging really requires caring.
Yeah.
I don't regret that I care. I may regret that I made the decision to focus my caring on X. Okay. But I never regret caring. And I think that's the big ingredient for engagement.
No. And when you talk about contributing, I'm not sure if you're familiar with these, but open space technology, OST, where it's a way of allowing solutions to complex problems to emerge from a collective. And for example, you can take the whole employee space, employee group of a company, have a day or two long open space technology, which is just a number of rounds of where they present, hey, this is something I would like to work on in this block of time, and other people check into it, and they start, you know, combining efforts and stuff. And what I love about that kind of work is it's completely, you know, emergent, meaning it's not a manager saying this is the goal and this is how we're going to solve it, and everyone fall into line. The lines shape themselves. And one of the rules of open space is the rule or law, I forget what they call it, but let's call it the law of 2 feet, or the rule of 2 feet. And so basically they say, be accountable for your own self and the value of your time. And so if you're not learning or contributing, you've got 2 feet, you can walk away, you know, so just check out of the meeting. And you know, I would love it if organizations sort of brought that into their language, that, hey, if you're in any meeting at any time, and if you're not learning or contributing, you always have the choice just to walk away. But what was really triggering about our email conversations about this is contributing can be very intentional. And so it's not like, wait, they haven't set up this meeting so I can contribute. That's kind of defeatist in a way, that you're waiting, you know, your destiny's in someone else's hands. And so I'm curious, you know, I'm really curious, can you explain how can someone be intentional and purposeful and create that space to contribute themselves?
Oh, that's a superb question. And it's one of those things that you can describe easily, and accomplishing it is not always easy, because some environments make it harder to bring that forward. But I'll offer it up in a couple of different ways. I think owning the fact that engagement and satisfaction and fulfillment and accomplishment starts with me, and I have both the responsibility and the opportunity to make that decision. So two of my favorite questions, which really talk about the ability to do it with intention. I learned from a client of mine, which I learned an enormous amount from clients. And this particular gentleman said, every day when I pull up into the parking lot, I ask myself two questions. First, am I bringing my best self to work today? It's a very simple yes or no. And secondly, is this the best I'm ever going to be? And in doing so, he recognizes that he's bringing himself to be present, leaning in, fully engaged, and he's open to learning as well as doing. And so looking for constant improvement. And that's a way to be present, but it also eliminates the need for the business to excite me, or for the team to get me to want to play, or all the other things that we can often use to hang back. And there's a lot of reasons to not lean in, but leaning in is always a personal choice. And I like personally the ownership of that choice. It does prevent my being victimized by, you know, the circumstances. So I can't whine about that. But I do love the idea that I get to decide how I show up and to what end.
Well, I guess you don't have to answer yes to that question every day either, meaning something, you know, life is complicated and work is only one part of life. You know, it's a big part because it's where you spend a lot of your time, but maybe your pet died that night before. And in fact, you're not showing up as the best version of yourself. And that's okay, isn't it? I think also just to be conscious in that and say, you know what, I'm going to be a mess for a couple of days, and that's okay. and maybe even share that with your colleagues and say, hey, you know what? Hamster died. You all know that that was important to me. Just now I'm going to be off for a couple of days. I'll come back. And then, you know, and people will be very gracious about that, I believe.
Yeah, let me mark that out, because I actually mentioned this notion to a team of hard-charging C-suite people. And I had mentioned the idea that what this particular gentleman does is, if he gets a no, that is that he's bringing his best self to the game, he'll actually go back home. And this guy pipes in, he says, well, there's no way that could happen here. We're professionals. And I said, well, I think we're also humans too. And so our role isn't defining our experience, our humanity is. And I think if we tell the truth about that, and then are willing to, even if we have to be at work, we can say, hey, my hamster died. It's going to have an effect on me. If you need something and I'm not bringing it to you, stop me and just either give me some space or make a specific request. But you can ask for what you want and still get the job done. You don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to be the best you every single minute. It's just not going to hold up. But it's worthwhile marker. It's worth striving toward. And it's the essence of contributing. One of the great examples that I use for the difference between giving and contributing is, if, Chris, you come to me and you say, hey, our community business association is doing a fundraiser. Would you buy 5 raffle tickets? And I say, well, yeah, I know you, Chris. I'll buy them. And maybe it's going to be satisfying or maybe not. If I come to you and I say, Chris, my daughter is selling Girl Scout cookies. I want her to have an experience of what it's like to sometimes get what she wants and sometimes miss and still be intact. So I'm looking to educate her. I don't care whether you buy any cookies. I just want her to have the chance to try that out. Is it okay if she talks to you? Mm. Now, interestingly, as you're having that conversation, no matter what happens, you know what it is you're contributing toward in her future. And being aware of that is going to make every minute of that fun as well as valuable. And to me, that really captures the essence of doing something for something bigger than myself, which is the essence of contributing. And it actually naturally supports engagement. Mm-hmm. And if I could have everybody leave with an understanding, it would be to intentionally design engagement inclusive of contributing, so that you and the people you care about get the absolute most out of you and what you intend.
One of the things I ask all guests when they're, you know, there's a whole, you know, series of questions and preparation and all this kind of stuff that we do. And one of the questions I ask people is, what is the call to action? Meaning, when we're wrapping up the episode, where can I point people to basically buy your stuff if it's right, somebody who's selling something? And I think this is the first time that someone gave me a call to action that doesn't have anything to do with buying their stuff. It's actually a call to action that people can act on today without buying Bob's stuff that could be valuable. And I love that. I just love the intentionality that, you know, it's like, don't worry about buying my stuff. If you could do these 5 things in your organization today or tomorrow, then you can already increase engagement and you can already get a greater sense of life through contributing. So I guess everyone's listening, perk up, because here comes a request from Bob and I to shift your thinking today at work, or tomorrow if you're just depends on when you're listening to this. So Bob, go for it. What is your invitation for people to literally do in their life tomorrow at work in order to raise the level of contribution from themselves?
Oh, thank you, Chris. And this is fun. So we start with having you think about a meeting or an interaction that you have with frequency. It could be a weekly meeting with your boss, a weekly meeting with a team, a weekly meeting with a vendor, a customer, it doesn't matter, coworker, but you have a frequent meeting And what you want to begin with is noticing and measuring on a scale of 1 to 10, what is that meeting's energy level normally for you? A one is it's just borderline, you're dead. Okay, there's no energy to it. And a 10 is you're sort of out of your mind with delight. But on balance, what is that meeting like for you? The next question is to think about the next time you're going to meet with that person or in that event. What is the energy level you'd actually like to experience in that meeting? And decide what's one thing you can do that contributes to that. It could be announcing your intention to accomplish that. It could be focusing your attention on a particular topic and giving your absolute all to it in terms of either listening or engaging, inviting engagement. But it's you influencing, leading, and managing that energy. After you have that meeting, take a moment and just take a quick measure on a scale of 1 to 10. What was your experience of that meeting energy-wise? And then if you would, what's one or two words that you would use to describe what made the difference? And would appreciate it if you would email Chris and myself and just share with us what you got from that. So you'll be able to see the emails, you know, at the end of this. But the whole idea is that you think about you, what you care about, what you want, how you show up, and play with it, have fun with it, and we hope get a great deal of return from it.
I love it. So so I will put both of our emails in the show notes. And I can probably just talk about, you want to just, mine is Chris, C-H-R-I-S at ebullient, ebullient.com. And Bob, what is yours?
Mine is Bob Smith, all one word, B-O-B-S-M-I-T-H at mysuccess.com.
Yeah, I found it now. And we'll put both of those in the show notes, and we'll also put these five things. So select a meeting that happens with frequently. Second is scale that on an energy level of almost dead and out of the world delight, you know, 1 to 10. Think about one outcome you can contribute to and set that really as your outcome and your intention. Have the meeting and make your contribution purposefully, intentionally. And then afterwards, yeah, recheck on yourself on your level of energy. And then the bonus point is send Bob and I, you know, just a couple words that describe the feeling that, or the outcome and what this meant to you. I love that.
Wonderful. Well, we thank you. This would be great. And it's really exciting. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be able to share this thinking, because it's something that I've spent years working on myself to learn how to do with some reasonable efforts. And, you know, I tell everyone, I was raised in an Irish Catholic alcoholic neurotic upbringing. So I have learned to do a lot of self-work to try to evolve. And I want to share whatever I can along the way.
Well, we've all had our life lessons. I think every human is recovering from school and being, you know, childhood and our parents, who I believe for the most case always did the best they could. And at least for me, being a parent, realizing, yeah, you know, this is hard. I don't think any parents purposely screw it up, but we do it every day. You know, there's no school, there's no manual.
It's a journey.
And one of the things I love about this is the many people in organizations are sitting there waiting for management or someone else to create the space for them to be happy and to contribute and to find meaning. And what I like to share with people is that is never going to happen. It cannot happen. Meaning nobody else, no external action, events, condition can happen. You can, you know, there's going to be some joyfulness and playfulness, but that decision to engage, to contribute, and ultimately find that satisfaction and happiness can only happen from within. And that is the work. And what I love about this brings that inner work, that inner self, that inner ownership smack into the middle of the workplace. And I love that. So Before we wrap up, Bob, any last insights to share? Anything?
Yeah,
anything
that... kind of tie all this together. So one of the things you probably have heard the notion that the game is over before it begins.
Okay. And, no, but go ahead.
And it has to do really with your planning and preparation. Hmm. How you show up determines how you're going to play. It's not that you simply show up, but how you prepare. So one of the things that you can take from this and to kind of tie it all together is prior to doing anything that for you matters or that you want to have matter is, number one, what do I want as an outcome for this activity, event, conversation, et cetera? And two, what do I want to be sure I can contribute to this so that I can support that outcome or increase the odds of getting it? And in all cases, I find that it makes it easier to bring my best self to anything that I'm doing. And I think the same is true for others.
That's not only at work, my friend. Just good life advice. So, Bob Smith, consultant advisor to boards and organizations, management teams on OKRs. So if you are interested in implementing or improving your approach to OKRs, give him a call. If you are selecting an OKR platform, a management platform, he is, I think he's got some great expertise on that. He's even written some, I guess, some how to select some decision documents and stuff. And he can certainly help organizations orient on the best OKR solution. And more recently, stretching into OKR 3.0, which is really, you know, connecting to that, the human aspect, so it can be truly engaging and creating that space for people to contribute, which is beautiful stuff. You can find him at mysuccess.com, mysuccess.com. And I know he doesn't only serve organizations in the US because an organization that I know well asked me about OKRs, and I'm lining Bob up to do an inspirational talk to that that whole company, I think. So it's going to be good stuff. Bob Smith, thank you so much.
Chris, thank you. This has been a blast, and I really appreciate the chance to visit on the topic and look forward to more.
Thank you for listening. Download the Simplicity Toolkit from ebullience.com to discover the power of the Simplicity Scan and Sprint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player.